Good morning. Welcome to Bra Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper. And this month we talk about during the Lord's Supper that Jesus is the only, the perfect, and the satisfactory payment for sin. Jesus is the only, the perfect, and the satisfactory payment for sin. So we start with a question. Is there anything that you can do to change God's attitude toward you? Well, you were a little too slow with that answer. You know, you got notes in front of you. It's written right there. You can't read. So the answer is no, but the truth is we think so. We think that things that we do change God's attitude toward us. In fact, we spend much of our lives obsessing about pleasing God with the result that we're disappointed with ourselves, that we never succeed in pleasing Him. Why? Because we're displeased with ourselves because we keep on sinning. Even believers in Christ after salvation, we keep on sinning. And we're displeased with ourselves because we keep on disobeying Him. And we know that that's not what we want to do, yet is what we do, because we always think that we have a better idea than He does. Well, maybe we've been sold a false impression about what is important to God. Think about it. Think about this. When you hear the word God, which is a reference to the sovereign being of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the picture that comes in your mind when you hear His name? Do you see a person? Perhaps what comes to mind in your view is your view of what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. Do you see a thing when you hear God? Often the Lord Jesus Christ is turned into an object by the world. The world calls Him a higher power. The world calls Him the universe. Allegedly non-offensive ways to describe Him so that those who have rejected a relationship with Him don't have to feel too uncomfortable about their choice of indifference or antagonism toward Him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, it says this, "For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I, God the Father, lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and anyone who believes in Him," and of course this stone is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, "anyone who believes in Him will not be disappointed." 1 Peter 2:7. This precious value, the value of a relationship with the sovereign God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, then, is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ, that stone has become the very cornerstone, 1 Peter 2:8. And He, the Lord Jesus Christ, became a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, for they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. And the word that is referenced here is the gospel message, the invitation to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this doom, the lake of fire, they who are disobedient to the word were also appointed. See, the Lord is called the rock of offense and the stone of stumbling because there are dire consequences involved in rejecting a relationship with Him. In that way, the Lord is offensive. And the reality of His fairness in allowing rejection of His person and rejection of a relationship with Him are used to paint a distorted picture both of Him and of our obligations to have a relationship with Him. Now, throughout the centuries, by those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are referred to as heathen, the Lord has been portrayed and can easily be pictured as an angry God who is disappointed with His creatures and as a God who must be constantly bowed down to so that He is pleased with us. Thus, man is put in a position of having to constantly influence God through his own actions as a way to become acceptable to God. Now, I don't know about you, but I would never want to worship a God like that. I would never want to worship a God like that. There is nothing amazing about worshiping a God like that, and it's fortunate that that is not our God. That is not the Christian view of God. Any Christian who has that view of God has some growing up to do in his spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sovereign God of the universe, is a God who loves his creatures unconditionally, with no conditions. That's what un means. He is a God of infinite mercy. He is a God of boundless compassion. He is a God of unlimited grace. And even though he has promised to bring wrath on those who reject a relationship with him, he never stops loving them unconditionally. And he is wonderful to honor their choice to have nothing to do with him for all eternity. Isn't that amazing? That he still loves them. He'll love them in the lake of fire unconditionally. And has provided a place for them to live apart from him as they request. See, there's only one way to end up in the lake of fire, and that's to choose to go there. You have to make that choice. You have to say, I want nothing to do with Christ, therefore send me to the other place. So here's what Dwight Pentecost has to say about our God. And I want you to notice the word that will be in the title of this, propitiation, because that's what our Lord's Supper is about today. It's about that word, propitiation. Here's what Dwight Pentecost has to say about our God. He says, in the heathen concept, God is portrayed as hard, cold, stubborn, disinterested, and unconcerned. And it is only through prayers, through penance, and through personal sacrifice that his attitude towards sinners can be changed. Unfortunately for you, your sacrifices and your works don't please God. Now, I spent a lot of years in my own spiritual life trying to please God. And after multiple failures, I thought, you know, maybe that's not the game. The Lord has made it easy for his creatures to be saved because he is the propitiation. He is the easy way. He is the only way. He took care of the sin problem that separates creatures from their God. He took care of the sin problem. He is the only one who could do it because he is the only one who is perfect and thus satisfying to God the Father. No, we can't impress God. But he is impressed with us anyway, and he's so impressed with us that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die for us so that we could be saved. He is so impressed with us because he created us, so impressed with us that God the Father was willing to send his Son so that we could be saved. So there is no greater demonstration of unconditional love than the cross. So I'd like to welcome you to a place where you can learn what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you at the cross as we celebrate the Lord's Supper for this month. And what he did, among other things, and I want you to hear this loud and clear, what he did at the cross, among other things, is to make it impossible for you to contribute to your own salvation. Let me repeat that. He made it impossible for you to contribute to your own salvation. Isn't that awesome? You know why he did that? Because he knew you'd screw it up. And he wasn't going to let you, because salvation is too important. So we start the lesson today with music. And the song is Jesus, the One and Only by Babbie Mason.
Jesus,
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for sending your Son to die for our sin on the cross. We're grateful to Jesus for providing the only answer for the sin problem for all time. Father, we know that without the cross, there would be no redemption, no forgiveness for our sins, no hope for this life or the next, no sin-free eternity for the redeemed. We know that our greatest problem had no human fix, but you sent Jesus to be the only solution. And to those who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, it is a joyous life. The weight of sin is lifted, and the shield of salvation empowers us. To those who reject Jesus, the weight of sin continues to dominate their lives and enslave them to the schemes of their master, Satan. Father, today, as you have instructed, we stop to remember your Son's death on the cross, and we celebrate the victory that he won 3 days later by being resurrected from the dead. Teach us how to appreciate the gift of this so great salvation. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's Bible lesson, the Lord's Supper. Jesus, the one and only, the perfect, the satisfactory payment for sins. I'd like to go back for a minute to the quotes from Dwight Pentecost, because I don't think I read the second one. I got so excited I missed it. But I want you to see the contrast that Pentecost was getting at when he talks about the Lord. So in the first quote, he said, in the heathen concept, God is portrayed as hard, cold, stubborn, disinterested, and unconcerned, and it is only through prayers, through penance, and through personal sacrifice, things that we do, that his attitude toward us as sinners can be changed, right? And that's, if you look at every single religion, and you take the doctrinal statement of every single religion, there will be a lot of fluff on the top of it, but right sitting at the base of it will be one thing in every single one of them, and that will be, you have to do something to impress God. And if you don't, it's going to be terrible for you. And as a 21-year Roman Catholic, I know my Roman Catholic friends still struggle with that. When I talk to them about grace, they still struggle with, it's the Catholic Church, and it's you got to keep the sacraments, and you got to do for God. And I say, okay, you do all that, and then what happens? Well, you don't really know. Seriously? 21 years of my life to that. You don't really know. Is our God a God of confusion? He is not. He is not a God of confusing. He's not confused, and he's not confusing. So here's what Pentecost says on the other side. He says, when we turn to the concept of God given to us in the Word of God and revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, we find that God, contrary to the heathen concept, is a God who is concerned with the needs of his creatures, even though they be sinners. God the Father demonstrated his unconditional love for us, and while we were yet sinners, while we were unbelievers, he sent Christ to die as a substitute for us. He's concerned with the need of his creatures, even though they be sinners. He is a God who has moved toward creatures to meet their needs, a God who is delighted to pour love and mercy and grace upon his creatures, a God who is willing to forget again and again and again our faults, a God who is not looking for us to be perfect, but a God who has made us perfect by giving us his righteousness. See, that it's too easy. It's just too easy. Nobody wants to accept that because that's just too easy. So that's what we're going to talk about today in today's Lord's Supper, the magnificence of propitiation. And my Mormon friends, you know, one of my Mormon friends, just one of the nicest, most sincere guys in the world. And I had him in a workshop recently and I asked him, what do you want from this life? And he got this look on his face, and it was just this look of total sincerity. And he said, I want to earn salvation. That's what I said. Come here. Come over here. Stop thinking that way. What is wrong with you? You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. Yes. That's right. That's right. Oh, no. Oh, no. He got down off the cross and went and got baptized, didn't he? That's right. That's right. That's absolutely right. All right. We got. Thank you. That's right. All right. We're going to begin this lesson by taking the offering. This does not apply to our guests. But what is God's attitude toward giving? Silly question. God so loved the world that he gave. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says this. Each one of us must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. The Lord loves when we imitate him through our voluntary willingness and our demonstration of grace in giving. So let this be your guide as we take the offering. Please welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall with the offering message.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be a deacon for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Recently, in my past couple offerings, I've talked about strangers in our lives, whether it's strangers of people around us, complete strangers that we don't know, or family members that have become strangers, or the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a stranger to us all before we accept him into our lives. But I thought of another stranger as I was thinking about it, and that's us. That's the new self. See, when we're saved, we have a new self, but we don't know that new self yet. And I'm reminded of teenagers as they struggle to find their identities in life. They try to find themselves in others. They search their friends. They ask their friends who they should be, and they look at their friends' lives, and they compare and contrast, and this is really the worst thing you can do in life. You know, we're in a sense our own worst enemies when it comes to trying to correct ourselves or try to figure out who we are in lives. And we look at others and we think, oh man, they've got it all squared away. I need to change and be like them. Or, oh, you know, I'm not doing it correctly. I've failed so many times and they've got the perfect life. Because we compare the behind the scenes of our own lives to the highlight reels of others. And we often think, you know, God didn't make me correctly as I need to be. I need to change myself somehow in order to fit into the life of others. And it's almost like we think the grass is greener on the other side. And so I need to change something rather than relying on God. I need to change who I am or how I act or anything. And rather than just thinking, man, the grass is not greener on my side, so maybe I should just turn up the sprinklers. I don't need to move. I don't need to change who I am. Maybe I should just change my glasses. Maybe my glasses need to be changed. But they always think I need to move. I need to completely change my life and where I need to be in life. And I was thinking in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in union with Christ, and all believers are, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And I think we dwell too much on the old things, and we think we have these tried and true ways of getting through life rather than depending on God. And, you know, it's if I were to start comparing and contrast myself to my pastor, I would never step foot up here because his lessons are amazing. And how could I even compare to those things? But it's not about me or him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ working through us. It's about him doing the work and us just putting our feet in front of each other one day at a time and not thinking in the future and not thinking in the past and just using the time we have in the present to make the most of it and learn about our new self through this beautiful study we have here each week. We learn about ourselves through the Word of God rather than our friends who don't have our best interest in mind. The Lord Jesus Christ always has our best interest in mind. And it may not seem like it as we struggle through hard times, as Patty's doing and as many people are doing, but he has us right where he wants us, even when we're in pain or we're struggling. And I think about my son William. He's 2 years old. He doesn't care what people think about him. He will cry. He will soil himself right in the middle of public. And I'm not asking us to do that. But I think we need to remember that as we struggle and we start to fight and think, oh man, I need to change something. Oh man, I need to do something different. You don't. You just have to be where God wants you, and that's here. You have to give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, because he gave it to you, and it's not yours. It's for everyone to have. So we really appreciate your giving up to this point and always supporting our pastor, and in doing so, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Generosity. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper. Jesus, the only, the perfect, the satisfactory payment for sin. So I ask you, is there anything you can do to change God's attitude toward you? No, absolutely not. Thank you for the speed, June. We have a God who never changes. We have a God who never changes. He is immutable. A God who does not need to be changed in his attitude toward us. The Lord Jesus Christ has a fixed mindset about you, and that mindset is a mindset of unconditional love. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. God is unconditional in his love for you in the past. God is unconditional in his love for you right now. And God is unconditional in his love for you in the future. His love toward you does not change, and he doesn't need you to do one thing to change his attitude toward you. And why would you want to change a perfect attitude toward you? You would never want to do that. And the word that indicates part of his unconditional love for you is propitiation. Propitiation, big word, but that's the word that describes one of the benefits of God's unconditional love for you. God is willing to do everything for you. See, that's what we're studying in a prayer right now. We don't pray as we should, so what? So God the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings too deep for words. Everything that you're not capable of, God comes in and takes care of. And one of the things you're absolutely not capable of is saving yourself. And so God came in and took that burden on for you. God is willing to do everything for you, and your job is simple. Your job is to be resigned to accept and then to be completely overwhelmed by this indescribable, unconditional love that he has for you. And who has this love for you? The sovereign God of the universe, the number one in the universe. So our sin at physical birth, the sin that we got from Adam, from being born in union with Adam, put a barrier between God and us. Now, that is not your fault, but it is your condition. God put you in that position. And then Christ paid for that sin at the cross. He brought us from far away in our relationship with him to near to him. And God the Father is totally satisfied with the way his Son accomplished that reconciliation at the cross. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate crucifixion, and we're going to celebrate resurrection, as we do every year. Well, the word propitiation, what does that mean? It means the Lord Jesus Christ paid for sin for you, and that he is the only currency that God the Father would consider to be satisfactory as payment for sin. Your works are not satisfactory. And last week I was in London, and I had failed to convert dollars to Great British pounds. And so I was in the cab, and the cab driver didn't accept credit cards, and so I pulled out some dollars, and I said, hey, how much is it? He said, oh, no, we don't accept dollars, man. We don't accept dollars. It's the very same thing in the matter of God the Father. He doesn't accept your works. Your works are like dollar bills. They're no good here. And so propitiation means that the only currency that God the Father accepts is what the Lord did at that cross. See, we look at this cross, and by the way, there's nobody on it. He is risen. You know, we look at that cross and we forget sometimes what that cross really means and what that accomplishment was that the Lord Jesus Christ did on your behalf. But he did it for you, and he did it for you personally. And so we had this sinful condition at physical birth. We needed to be reconciled to God, and all of us one day will meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And when we do, something is required of us when we come into his presence. And the thing that is required of us, we don't have it. So what we need is something that covers our sin. And blood is required to atone for and to cover our sin. And that is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. His blood covered our sin, atoned for our sin, gave us absolute righteousness, put us in union with him, all those who would believe. He gave us something we don't have and can't have on our own. So for those of us who are believers in Christ, when we go before the Lord, he will look at us and he will see that thing he needs to see, absolute righteousness, the free gift that was given to us because we asked for it from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, what is the work of propitiation? It's that the Lord Jesus Christ knew exactly how to please his own Father, and he pleased God the Father by sacrificing himself for us at the cross. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So let's enjoy the elements together, as we do every month. So following God's request, we keep on celebrating Christ and his cross on a regular basis. We eat to remember who he is, his person, and we drink to remember his work, the voluntary sacrifice he made at the cross on our behalf as our substitute. He went to the cross instead of us. And we are grateful for what God has done for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 say this: I, Paul, received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is and keeps on being my body, which is broken for you. Keep on doing this celebration for the purpose of remembering me. And so when we eat the bread during the Lord's Supper celebration, we remember the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person that we have a relationship with. Now, when we drink the cup, we remember the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 say this: in the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the cup after the Passover supper, representing his death on the cross, saying, this cup is a new testament, forged with my blood. Keep on doing this celebration, and as often as you drink it, do so for the purpose of remembering me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so as you enjoy the bread and the cup, enjoy the memory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as well. Now and always, let us keep on giving thanks that we are loved by God and let's enjoy that love day by day. Let's take a quick music break and then we'll continue. The song is Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin.
He became sin. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all. See you. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Today's Bible lesson is the Lord's Supper. Jesus, though only the perfect, the satisfactory payment for sin. And the word that describes that biblically is propitiation. Propitiation. Jesus Christ is the only, the perfect, the satisfactory payment for sins. And all my religion friends, if they only knew that, if they could only accept that fact that they can't do anything to save themselves, what a great life it would be for them. Some of the most powerful words written in the Bible we'll see right now. It's Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26. Here's what it says. But now apart from the law, those six words should bring tears to your eyes. But now apart from the law. You know, the focus of some of the religions is sin. You're a sinner, you're horrible, and you're damned to hell. That is not a motivating message. And the focus of some of the religions is, there's the law, and you have to keep it, and if you don't keep it, you're damned to hell. And that's not a motivating message. Not at all. Why? Because we hear that message, and we go, oh my God, I want to do that. I don't want to go. And then we sin. The law. We hear about the law. And we want to keep it because we don't want to go to hell. And then we break the law. And then we just... And then Romans 3:21 is right there. But now, apart from the law, you are not under sin. Sin shall no longer be master under you. Sin shall no longer be master over you because you are not under sin. You are not under law. You are under grace. Powerful. Amen. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God, that's what we need to get into heaven. The righteousness from God. And the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have it. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness from God has been manifested, made clearly visible, being witnessed to by the Mosaic Law and the Old Testament prophets. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness from God the Father through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for all those who believe. For there is no distinction. What does that mean? There's no partiality. What's the word that describes that idea? Whosoever. Whosoever can have that. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Go back to Romans 3:10. There is no creature who is righteous, not even one. All have sinned and fall short of the essence of God. Romans 3:24. But all keep on being justified as a gift by God the Father's grace through the redemption which comes from being in union with Christ Jesus. Romans 3:25. Whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Jesus Christ, the only perfectly satisfactory payment for sin. And how did he pay for the sin? Blood. He Can't hear? Can you turn it up a little bit, Denny? You know, my wife had a birthday yesterday, so it's her 48th birthday. And she's already going, hey? Hey, Sonny? It's like, wow. Can you hear it now? All right. Good. Romans 3:25, whom God the Father displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. And this was to demonstrate God the Father's righteousness, because in the forbearance of God the Father, he passed over the sins previously committed. Isn't that awesome? That's so exciting. Romans 3:26. Why did he do that? Why did God the Father pass over the sins previously committed? For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time. So that he would be considered just, and so that he would be considered the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now, we're going to study justification coming up. But what is it in essence? It is that after you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father runs through the hallways of heaven announcing your name continually that you are saved. And that's an amazing thing. And for all the family members of yours who have gone to heaven before you, that is an exciting event when God the Father is announcing that you are saved. Sin is a barrier between God and man. And a perfect God requires something of sinful man. God's requirements are specific and cannot be altered. And what God requires must be satisfied by someone and by something. And unfortunately for us, or fortunately for us, depending on how you look at it, God the Father cannot be satisfied by anything done by man. He can only be satisfied by his Son, the Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. So God the Father is not satisfied by incense. God the Father, you like that? You like that, June? But incense does smell good. But God the Father is not satisfied by incense. God the Father is not satisfied by gold and silver. He can't be bought. God the Father is not satisfied by prayers. God the Father is not satisfied by works. God the Father is not satisfied by confession of sins. And as if satisfaction can somehow be purchased. God the Father is only satisfied by the blood of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the atonement for our sins. The yearly atonement in the Old Testament times that is detailed in Leviticus was simply a yearly deferment of the payment of debt owed by man to God. And at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ finished and paid for that debt. And we call that propitiation. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 say this: therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ had to be made like his brethren, like all believers in Christ, in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God the Father, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, to make a perfectly satisfactory payment for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:18. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. The Lord Jesus Christ, we have a high priest who knows everything about us and who has experienced everything we've experienced, yet without sin. And so isn't that amazing that he knows us so very well? First John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, two of the most exciting verses in the Bible say this: my little children, this is John talking, I, John, am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. John wrote 5 letters in the New Testament, and all of them were concerned with you. He wrote the Gospel of John, he wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he wrote Revelation. And he says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, first class condition if in the Greek, and of course we all do, we have an advocate, parakletos is the Greek word, someone who comes powerfully to our assistance. We have an advocate with God the Father. Really? Who? Jesus Christ, the only righteous one. Jesus Christ, the only Holy One. 1 John 2:2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. He himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only perfectly satisfactory payment for our sins. And not for ours only as believers in Christ, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that unbelievable that there will be people in the lake of fire who have rejected a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, yet every sin they've ever committed was paid for? And so when they're at the last judgment, at the great white throne judgment, their sins will not be brought up. It will be their deeds, specifically one, the rejection of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll get to spend all eternity playing that rejection over and over in their heads. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 say this: "But this, by this, the unconditional love of God the Father was manifested in us, made clearly visible in us, that God the Father has sent his uniquely born Son, 100% God and 100% man in one person forever." The Lord Jesus Christ is the unique person of the universe. God the Father has sent his uniquely born Son into the world so that we might live the resurrection life, the Zoe life, the eternal life through believing in him. 1 John 4:10, in this is unconditional love. Not that we loved God unconditionally, but that he loved us unconditionally and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And when I hear that word, propitiation, it's exciting in my soul to know that I don't have to do any of the work. See, you know what? We're kind of lazy people, aren't we? We don't really like doing work all that much. But for some reason, it just flips in the spiritual realm. In the regular life, we don't want to do that much work. We want to see how we can get out of work. Everybody's living for the weekend. But then in the spiritual life, we flip it and we want to do everything to save ourselves, and we can't. And then when you hear that word propitiation, you've got to get excited about it, because you know that there is only one perfectly satisfactory payment. And the only way that you get that payment made on your behalf is to accept as a free gift a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So is there anything you can do to change God's attitude toward you? Good. You're still a little slow. Is there anything you can do to please God? No, sorry, no. But believe me, it's better to present yourself as a sinner asking for mercy than it is to present yourself as a righteous man asking for justice. Justice being what I'm due. I work, so give me what I'm due. No. There is none righteous, not even one. But the free gift of God comes from faith alone and Christ alone for eternal life. An established and irrevocable fact which we celebrate every month at this time when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, when we look back to the cross and see the magnificence of what was done for us there. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel message, for the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek." Psalm 62:1, "My soul waits in silence for the Lord only. From him is my salvation." Acts 2:21, "And it shall be that everyone who calls on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some accuse him of, but he's patient toward all mankind, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." A change of mind about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Closing song, "Redeemer," sung by June Murphy.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you could only come this far. And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. All of creation testifies this life within me cries, and I know my Redeemer lives. The very same God that spins things in orbit runs to the weary, the worn and the and the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they conquer death to bring me victory. Now I know my Redeemer lives. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer, He lives to take away my shame, and He lives forever. I'll proclaim the payment for my sin was the precious life He gave. But now He's alive and there's an empty grave. And I know my Redeemer, He lives.
God and Father, there's nothing that we can say that would accurately communicate our gratitude for all you've done for us, that you would think enough of us to let your son go to the cross to shed blood for us. It's just an amazing thing. And we just love celebrating you and celebrating the Lord's Supper and knowing that you love us, and not only that you love us, but that it's personal with you. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray that you help us to take the love that we feel inside toward you and then to pass it on to others and to share with them what the opportunity is of believing in your Son, so that everyone we come in contact with has the opportunity to be saved because we had the courage to say something to them. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.